So you might have seen me around doing poetry or something in town, but what I really love to do is write. I just write everything. And I wrote this story down, and I wanted to give you guys the pleasure of hearing it tonight. So it all started as a political protest that I was going to. I was 17. I got kicked out of my sister's house, and I was living on the streets of New York, and I figured I had to pick up, do something with my life. So basically, it went that as a sequator, I ended up buying a backpack and pretty much living out of this backpack for a couple of years of my life. And I was completely involved in the political scene and protesting with Occupy Wall Street and everything. And they were in front of Lloyd Blankfein's house once. And I saw, like, the ruthless treatment of these people. The police would go by and hose down the sidewalks while they were there, getting them completely soaking wet. And this, of course, because all the lobbying that the banks have limitless money to do. But that's another story for another time. So I go down to Washington, D.C., and I don't even know what the heck I'm doing in Washington, D.C. I took a megabus there, and I realized that I was going to protest with the group in front of the White House. And so that didn't exactly pan out, and I ended up being stuck in Washington, D.C. for a night. And I thought, well, maybe this could be the start of a great adventure. So I take the metro the next morning into Alexandria, Virginia, and I end up walking about 20 miles over the course of the night and camp out in some man's field, and like this one truck driver was driving by and would look at me, and it was really sketchy. But I continue going on. It's the start of a great journey. It is. And I continue going on. And as I gain more information and go to new places, I realize there's a certain vibe and feel that the place has to have that I settle in. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of dining and dashing. Dining it. Okay, so you like go to a shelter, you go to a soup kitchen for about 3 weeks, you hit the town, and then you take off. And that's the very Kerouac-esque stuff there. And so I was traveling, and one lady picked me up on this same trip, and she saw that I was soaking wet. It was raining like hell out. I think I was in some obscure town in Virginia. It used to be a mining town, but it was almost completely deserted at this point. And like a couple of high rollers lived there that worked for the military, because there's like bases all over Virginia, which is kind of creepy because they're lab bases, or, you know, modern technology. They're morphing animals or something with science. So I end up being picked up by this lady, and I was fasting for a day. And I was just so hungry. Like, I was purposely fasting for religious purposes. And she ends up feeding me, and, you know, whatever. I end up breaking my fast and gives me a bus ticket, and I end up in the middle of South Carolina. So when I end up in the middle of South Carolina, I'm in another rather obscure place. I guess the Southerners, it's less so, but it's called Greenville, South Carolina. I was trying to get to the lake I was baptized at because I was under some insane notion that I was going to have a vision quest by fasting for a couple of days and like staying by the lake. So I get one driver, and he picks me up finally after like 2 hours of hitchhiking, and I end up traveling with this guy more than once. He turns out to be a really nice guy. He was a Christian, you know, very Southern Baptist-y, but still, he was tolerable. But once again, another story for another time. And so he picks me up in the middle of this town in South Carolina, and I couldn't find what specific part of the lake I was at. I just knew that I was at Lake Hartwell when I got baptized. So that was kind of the end of my whole spiritual trip. Really put a damper on my spirit for a little while. And so finally I get picked up by this 17-year-old girl. And like once I found that out, I almost leapt out of the car in like exasperation. I was like, "You're 17. What are you doing picking up a hitchhiker?" And really, she had a lot of problems in her life. And so she explained to me, and you know, over the course of this entire trip coming to the West for the first time, because I'd never been out to California or Oregon or Washington or anything like that, I noticed different things that I never really knew before. It really opened my eyes. For one, every person that I hitchhiked with would tell me their life story in depth in some crazy expectation that they would never see me again, so they had to do it. And, you know, like, I really touched with the human spirit to be existential. I feel like it's therapeutic in a sense, because you get this totally random guy that you don't know, and the person has their demons, but they're picking you up for their own reasons, and maybe it's a spiritual purpose, maybe they just feel like being a good person, but they tell you everything, and I just thought that was like, it's something surreal in a sense to get somebody so candid that they tell this random dirty hitchhiker with a big red backpack everything in their life. So that was one thing I learned. And then I was in California finally after ride after ride, picking up at truck stops at like 2 in the morning and taking off with truckers, finally getting to the West. And so the conclusion of this story is kind of a story about Arcata, California. So I was in the middle of Arcata, and it was pouring rain. I'd been there for about 2 weeks. I mean, it was really coming down out there, and it wasn't like weather I was used to because I had just come over from San Luis Obispo. And so I biked like 40 miles, yeah, from like Shasta County all the way into McKinleyville, which is this one sketchy town. You don't want to go there. All of them are meth heads or tweakers, which is why you get all those rumors about Mount Shasta and aliens and stuff living under it. But once again, another story for another time. So I'm in the middle of Arcata, California. This one woman picks me up. I hated the environment there, hated how I was treated, and just wanted to pick up and get out. One woman picks me up, takes me about 7 miles from Eureka to this sketchy intersection in the middle of Arcata, and I'm just standing there. Here I am, one guy with a big red backpack, trying to fly a sign or stick my thumb out to try to get a ride, and drivers are passing me and honking and everything. And so finally I get one man that picks me up, and he's bringing food to a friend over in some obscure place that's south of Crescent City. And I get there, and this is the premise of the story. Never go to a sketchy place that's just south of Crescent City. Because I walk into the gas station there, right? And there's an attendant there, and two guys come in. Now, one was like an older hippie, but the other was a big, built, burly, kind of soul kind of looking guy. I don't know. It was a little scary because he was eyeing me, and he had these like giant red eyes, and I could tell. I mean, it was in the middle of the Emerald Triangle, so he was obviously just getting off of a pot farm, but he was scary. And so he eyes me, and he sees I'm soaked in mud, and I'm just traveling, and I mean, my homelessness must have offended him because it was bad. He was looking at me, and I was just asking directions to the bus, and the attendant goes, well, there's no bus here, so I don't know what to tell you. And so I start walking out of the gas station, and he looks at my books, and the guy just stares at me, and he glares with the meanest looking eyes I've ever seen. It was like hitchhiker killer slang or something in a very subtle undertone. And he goes to me, "You use your books for shit paper, don't you?" Like, he looks at me and says that, and I just go and I'm gaped at him, and the attendant looks at him, and she's completely gasped that he would say something so impromptu. And I just take off, and I let the door fly open as I'm saying, "I'm getting the F out of this town. I'm never coming back to south of Crescent City." And they're just haggling me as I go out, and I end up hightailing it back to the 101 and finally catching another ride.